feels like a good one, guys.
Hello and welcome to the Super Byron Podcast. In this, our 17th episode of the pod, we'll be focusing entirely on Bayern Munich's huge upcoming Champions League clash against Liverpool at Anfield on Tuesday, including giving our best tactical approaches to the match, key players, and of course, score predictions. As always, I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm joined by Garrett Kerber.
Hey everybody, I want to give a shout out to the FC Bayern women who just beat Wolfsburg 4-2 and gave Wolfsburg their first loss of the season, and now they're tied on points, so go Bayern.
Very nice. Tim Richards?
I have nothing to add, but hello.
And, of course, Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi. Go Bayern, indeed.
Oh, yes. So, like I said, we'll be looking almost entirely at the Liverpool game this week, but before we get there, we have to discuss Bayern's 3-2 win over Augsburg on Friday because, well, it didn't exactly go as planned for the Bavarians. It was really tough. Augsburg scored, or I guess Leon Goretzka scored for Augsburg after just 13 seconds, quickest own goal in Bundesliga history. Augsburg made it really, really tricky for Bayern, a lot harder than it should have been. And so I just want to open up with a kind of a broad question, but Tim, I'll go to you first. What implications do you think that this really poor performance from Bayern will have on Tuesday's match?
Well, I think we were kind of all in agreement that that was going to be the team that would face Liverpool, which kind of makes sense. Like, just give them a test to see what happens. As for how it went, it's always difficult when you play a team that's right at the bottom of the table, because you kind of don't really know, like, oh, is this going to be really easy, or are they going to, like, fight with everything they have? I personally didn't think that Augsburg ever looked like they were going to win the game. But it looked like Bayern weren't going to win at times. This is a game that they really should have won. As for what that means, like, coming up, it could go either way. I don't know. I obviously don't know, like, what happens in the future. But if it's anything, it's just another indication that Bayern need to have a stronger sense of defensive stability, because that is just lacking horribly at the moment.
It sounded like the Augsburg on that first goal actually drew that up in some fashion. They saw that Bayern's fullbacks went way too far forward on kickoffs and immediately attacked that right off the opening kickoff. So for me, I look at it and I say, if we can put a positive spin on this, maybe it's a wake-up call for Bayern and to say, we can't take this type of chances that we are used to taking maybe in the past. And maybe it just forces, along with other, like, injury issues or whatever, but maybe it forces a slightly different lineup. Maybe it forces some slightly different tactics, and we're just going I hope we don't play scared, I guess, is what my big concern is that it could be a wake-up call that makes them more focused, but it could also be, like, kind of the wake-up call that makes them think, oh my gosh, we couldn't keep Augsburg off, you know, off the scoreboard. How are we going to keep Liverpool off? I don't think that'll be a problem. They're professionals and they're Bayern, but there are, it's a little bit worrying.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Garrett, that I remember reading somewhere earlier today that Augsburg targeted that right-hand side with Joshua Kimmich and Niklas Süle, like, at the very beginning, right off kickoff. And, I mean, maybe they got a little bit lucky with how the goal panned out, coming off the back of Leon Goretzka without him knowing much about it. But I guess that is definitely a little bit worrying. I also thought that it was a bit worrying that Niklas Süle was, by his standards, pretty poor against Augsburg. His positioning wasn't great. His clearances were definitely not the best. He failed to get it out more often than not. But on the other hand, Mats Hummels was, I thought, pretty exceptional. Finally had a good game in a Bayern Munich jersey this season. Now, Sebastian, I know that you weren't able to watch the game live, but maybe through the highlights or watching it later on, did you pick up anything from the Bayern match that maybe gives you some encouragement against Liverpool? Or maybe, you know, is it all just kind of worrying signs for going into Tuesday's match?
Yeah, I guess there are things that are encouraging. I think Coman was great, for example. I think it was probably his best match I've seen from him in a long time. So that's great. It's also great that he's not going to be injured, so he's going to be able to play. I guess that's also great. Not so much about the match, but about the aftermath. Yeah, my perspective on this match is really a bit strange because I knew kind of the stats before I saw anything about it. And the stats were really very confusing when you're not able to watch, because we had so much possession. We had many more chances than Augsburg. And yeah, I was also very shocked that Gnabry played very badly. I don't know what went wrong with him there. He seemed so on fire the other games before, and now, yeah, that was, yeah, shocking. I did not expect that at all. And I want to add something about the wake-up call idea. If only I would be able to believe that. I fear I'm not able to believe that, because really that was a situation. It's not like Augsburg showed us any weaknesses. We hadn't any idea that those were there. It's we have been talking about those issues in the last couple of weeks, and I think it's clear that Niko Kovac also knows about them, and the players know about them, and everybody knows what we need to fix there. So we knew it all before, and still it was way worse. Yeah, that kind of shocked me there.
I think if you looked at the stats at the end of the first half, it showed that Augsburg had one shot on goal and two goals at that point.
Yeah.
And so looking at that, it kind of concerns me with what that Liverpool front three is going to be able to do against our back line. But let's go ahead and move on to that Liverpool match so we can, you know, really dive in and look at that. Of course, the game is on Tuesday. It's a big Champions League night away at Liverpool for Bayern. And Thomas Muller is going to be missing from this game for both legs. Liverpool's missing a few key players as well. Among them is Virgil van Dijk. That could be huge for Bayern. But after this, you know, disastrous, well, not quite disastrous, nearly disastrous Augsburg match, does Niko Kovac stick with the same starting 11 of the same tactics that he's been using over the past few months? Or is it time to make that big change? And Gare, we'll go and start with you.
I think he will. I don't know whether I would say that he should or not. I think it's going to be hard to make any massive changes, given that it has worked for the most part prior to this Augsburg match. So, if anything, I think we'll see Ribery playing in place of Coman. Not exactly ideal, but I think that's what we will see because of the injury that Coman picked up. Even though it seems like he'll be available, I doubt that we'll see him start. The one option that I think we could see is maybe Rafinha come in and play right back and move Kimmich into the midfield. And I get more and more on board with that idea the more and more I see just it. It's not all on the center backs. It's not just the center backs, you know, drop in form that's causing so many problems in the back. And if putting Rafinha in at right back allows Bayern to be a little bit more defensive and not continue to throw guys forward and leave them open at the back, then I'm all for that. And I think against Liverpool, it might be wise to do that, even especially since you're away, you're at Anfield, and you're a good result is a draw. The best result is obviously a win, but if you can get a draw out of that match, you're in really good shape. So I'd be perfectly fine with Rafinha coming in at right back, Kimmich moving into the midfield, and then obviously you're going to have probably Ribery up instead of Coman. But again, I don't know that that's we're actually going to see that, because it seems like after the initial part of the year where Kovac was rotating every single match, he's gotten away from that, and I don't know how much of that is going to come back, especially this late in the year and this at such a crucial time. So we'll see. I don't think we will, but I think we potentially should see some changes.
So you would say, like, kind of keeping the fullbacks, I guess, a little bit further back would be a big not necessarily tactical shift, but a tactical shift for Kovac.
Yeah.
Okay, to kind of help nullify Salah and
well, because I think that there's no real easy solution in terms of a lot of our defensive players that are dedicated in defense are slow, and there's no good fix for that other than just positioning. And so if you can, you know, have at least another, you know, one of your fullbacks, if not both of them, at least one of your fullbacks is hanging back a little bit further. And so it's not, you're not putting so much pressure on those center backs. I think that could be a big help. If Hummels plays like he did against Augsburg, it may not be as big of a deal. We just need Sula to kind of get back in rhythm. But yeah, that would be kind of what I am proposing.
Do we think there's any chance that Niko Kovac tries a three at the back against Liverpool with, you know, three or five with, you know, Alaba and Kimmich still playing those wing-back roles to kind of add more defensive solidity to the back line?
I don't think that's the match to do it, unless he's been working on it in training ever since the beginning, just for this situation. I really don't think it's the time to do it. Like, you have the squad for it. Well, at least you have the midfield for it. That would mean having to play Sula, Boateng and Hummels, or Martinez in the midfield, Martinez in defence. I don't think that three or five at the back is the right thing. It may be the right thing, but it's not the right time now. Unless, of course, it is this secret weapon that he's been working on, which I don't think it is.
I think the closest thing to that I can imagine Kovac actually doing would be playing Javi Martinez as a very, very deep number six, where you have a kind of a hybrid thing where he's sometimes more like a number six and sometimes more like a third center back. I think I could see that, but I don't think he will change his mind on an actual three at the back, because I think he has been pretty clear about not wanting to do that.
Which is so peculiar, because it was such a strong part of his Frankfurt team. So that's kind of like my biggest, like, this is why I'm supporting Kovac, is the fact that I don't think he's doing what it is that he wants to do. I think he's told you play with four defenders. Like, he would regularly play three at the back at Frankfurt, and now all of a sudden doesn't even think about doing it. In fact, I think he was even quoted in one of the press conferences saying, yeah, we don't do four at the back at Bayern. I'm like, well, why not? Like, we've done it before.
So if not three at the back or five at the back, whatever you want to call it, we already heard from Garrett. So Tim and Sebastian, this is for you. What's the approach from Kovac here to stop Mane, Salah, Firmino? How do you stop that? You know, because that's a very good attacking trio by anyone's standards. Stopping them is going to be a huge, huge part of this match. So how do you do that if you're Kovac?
So in my opinion, I would definitely change something about the defensive midfield. I would either get Javi Martinez in there or Joshua Kimmich. But yeah, we know all the problems that brings. I'm not sure if I trust Rafinha against such an elite offense that we're going to face there. So it's going to be quite problematic either way. And also, it doesn't stop right there. If you put Javi Martinez in there, yeah, you also have to change something else. I don't think Coman, I don't think I would play him on offense. So I would be perfectly fine really with still playing Goretzka and James. But how's that going to work? I think everything doesn't really quite fit there. So yeah, we really have that hole on one of the wings. And I also don't want to see Ribery because I don't think he's helping too much defensively. I would rather really have Coman on there, but yeah, if he gets injured, then that would be the absolute worst case. That would ruin more than just the game, more than just this Champions League season. That potentially ruin much more for us. So yeah, I guess I would really my plan A basically would be giving Javi Martinez another chance and making sure to tell my fullbacks, yeah, to stay back a little bit more than they usually do. It's not much. I would like to be able to say I have more great ideas, more material, but yeah, I think we're in such a bad position right now. I think that's all.
I guess the question has to be asked: should Niko Kovac even try and do anything defensively to stop them? Or, you know, Liverpool are missing several defenders. Dejan Lovren, I think, will be absent. Virgil van Dijk, Joe Gomez even. So they're looking at playing a midfielder in defense. Should Kovac not just, you know, say, okay, we're going to go all out attack. We're going to rack up as many goals as we can. So I guess go at it with like kind of like a slugfest. You know, you score one, they score one. You score one, because at the end of the day, a 3-3, 4-4 draw, you know, something high scoring like that would be way better for Bayern than it would for Liverpool. So do you think maybe he scraps the whole trying to keep a clean sheet idea and just goes all out attack? I think it may not be the worst idea, but maybe I'm wrong there. Tim, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Sebastian, I'm afraid I'm going to have to actually disagree with you on a number of things. Unsurprisingly, Rafinha is in my starting lineup for this game. An experiment that I would love to see, I want to see Joshua Kimmich play as a wide midfielder, because he's clearly such a strong asset to the team when he's out on the flank. If you say to him you don't have to put in as much of a defensive responsibility as you should, he can still put in a great cross, he can still be hugely influential, but he has the support. Okay, it's maybe not the best support, but he still has somebody behind him in the form of Rafinha, who isn't going to get as forward as he would, as he is a slightly more seasoned defender. On the right side, I want to see Rafinha at right back and Kimmich in front of him. I think it worked really, really well for Guardiola against Porto when he had Lahm play right wing or like right midfield, because that also then doubles up the defence on that side. Okay, it's maybe not Liverpool's strongest side. Maybe their right wing is a little bit stronger. But I would really like to see that. In defence, Süle and Hummels, I think that's pretty much a lock-on for being the best defensive partnership around. And then the midfield would probably be Thiago and Martinez. I would like to see him in, because I think while he's not the most agile or mobile, he's very strong and he's going to get dirty. And that's really, this is the sort of game where you want somebody that's going to show up and have a fight. As for everything else, I think starting Ribery is it's an option. I'm not sure if it is the best option. Maybe starting Coman might be too much of a risk. Maybe Serge Gnabry. That's probably the position that's going to cause the most confusion for me over the next couple of days. And then James in front of it. I would line up as a 4-4-1-1. Bayern have done really well this season playing in that shape. But yeah, I think you need to have wingers that are going to go up and definitely go back as well.
I guess on offense, there's also the what would Lewis do approach to that. So Louis van Gaal, obviously. I guess you could play our young Canadian. Maybe that would be the Louis van Gaal approach to that.
I mean, I think that it does. I kind of like the idea of, even if you do put, you know, you go with Rafinha right back and you move Kimmich, you know, in wide midfield or into the defensive midfield or whatever, you still kind of just go for it, because I think that there is a lot to be said for the fact that, okay, we're conceding goals anyway, but we've also, especially against Augsburg, we showed we can almost score at will. I mean, it didn't look like Bayern had to work super hard to get those three goals. And so when they, so if we can, if Bayern can get three goals against Liverpool, I think you're in good shape going back to Munich. So I think that this match for Kovac needs to be a little bit less about the result and more about how many goals do you put in, in the back of the net. And I think that's probably the way it's going to play out. Especially because, like you said, if they're down so many defenders, they're going to be eager to keep pressure off of them, which means that there's going to be pressure to be had there, if you can get behind them. And then I also think that part of the reason I think that it might be even worthwhile keeping Kimmich in right back is that they're going to be pressuring you almost immediately once you get the ball. So you want to have defenders, especially, that are going to be able to distribute that ball quickly, so as not to play right into that counter press or the gegenpress or whatever. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that Kovac could go with this, but I think that one of the motivational ways is to talk about how, you know, all the pressure that's put on Bayern is self-inflicted. No one's really expecting Bayern to go win this match. No one's expecting to win the tie. Most people are just kind of picking Bayern as this is a good possibility for an upset, or, you know, because Bayern, they have the potential to be able to do something against Liverpool. But most people are expecting Liverpool to move on, and most people are expecting Bayern to lose this tie. So, hey, you know, do we throw caution to the wind? Probably not that far, but I mean, I think you still want to fix some of the problems that we've been having if you can, and especially if you can do it against Liverpool, then you're in good shape. But yeah, I kind of do like the slugfest approach of, let's just see how many goals we can put behind Allison and go from there.
Tim already has given us his starting 11, and I'll get to Garrett and Sebastian here in a second, but I'll go ahead and give mine. I actually am behind the Rafinha at right back for this game, especially Kimmich is a good defender, and he's good at winning the ball back, but his positioning leaves a lot to be desired, and we know Rafinha can stay back and will stay back, and I think that's pretty important. Because I do like the idea of a slugfest, but I'm not 100% sure that we can completely go toe-to-toe with Liverpool in that regard. So I put Rafinha at right back. Otherwise, Sula, Hummels, Alaba, defense, Neuer in goal. And then I'm putting Kimmich in central midfield, not on right wing. I think Kimmich and Thiago would make a good pairing, mostly because of Liverpool's gegenpressing. You want midfielders who can hold on to the ball, who can resist the press. And Kimmich and Thiago are really good at that. Gnabry on the right wing, James in the middle, and Coman on the left, with Levy up top, of course. But if Coman can't train tomorrow, for example, because he is still kind of on the rocks right now, if he's not 100% fit, I say absolutely do not risk him. In that case, I'd move James to the left wing, actually, and bring Goretzka in at the 10. And that adds another level of, you know, a player who can keep the ball against the high press. And then Goretzka, you know, how he can make those great runs, because I would trust James on the left wing with Goretzka at the 10 before I'd put Ribery on the left wing with James at the 10 even. So that would be my approach. So not too much different if Coman is not too injured to play, but if he is, then I'd switch it up and try something from there.
Mine is a little bit of a mix of what I think is actually going to happen and a little bit of what I want. So I'm putting Rafinha at right back in my 11, because the mistakes that I saw Kimmich make on the two goals for Augsburg, I don't think Rafinha makes, because I think Rafinha is more stay at home, and And I think his positioning is a little bit better defensively, which, you know, isn't a knock on Kimmich so much as it is a praise of Rafinha for being the type of player that does what you need him to do. He's not under any circumstances thinking that he's going to be the savior of this team. He's just going to go in and do a job, and I think that that's what Bayern need right now. I would put Kimmich in midfield, in defensive midfield, in a double six, I guess I would put Thiago instead of Goretzka. I would actually have Goretzka start on the bench, which pains me to say because I love Goretzka, and I think that he's going to be a huge player for Bayern in the future. I just think that he's had a good start to the year, and if he can be the guy coming off the bench, then I think that'd be good for this match. I think Ribery's going to start. So, you know, whether we like it or not, I think he's going to. And I think we just need to, I think then you need to have somebody like Davies or like even the option that you proposed, Ben, of moving James out wide, bringing Goretzka on later, you know, put for Ribery or whatever. I think that that's an option. So Neuer in goal, Rafinha at right back, Sula and Hummels, and then Alaba, and then I got Kimmich, Thiago, James at the 10, Ribery on the left, Gnabry on the right, and the best number 9 in the world, Robert Lewandowski, up at the top.
Sebastian, I can only assume you're going to make it a full 4 in a row of Rafinha at right back, right?
No, I won't.
How otherwise, the turns have tabled.
Yeah, if you hadn't asked me that one, I maybe would have used what Garrett said as a terrible, terrible segue about the best number 9 in the world, which I obviously don't agree so much with. Anyway, yeah, I would keep Kimmich as right back. And yeah, I have been putting a lot of thought into that, which I don't mean to imply that I came up with a great solution, but just that it was very, very hard for me. I put in Javi Martinez as the actual number 6. In front of that, I got Thiago and James. And on the wings, which I would not interpret as actual wingers so much, but hopefully, yeah, as more of a hybrid thing, Gnabry on the left and Goretzka on the right.
So I guess that's kind of similar to what Tim was hinting at with Joshua Kimmich.
I would think so, yeah.
That's interesting. Goretzka certainly got the mobility to play that, and I know he has done that at Schalke.
So you're thinking kind of a hybrid 4-3-3, 4-1-4-1 type thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody has proposed an option that I feel like is horrific. And I think that kind of speaks to the quality of Bayern. I mean, clearly they're not as good as they have been in past years, but I mean, this is still a quality team with some good players. And I think that's why a lot of people are looking at Bayern as a potential upset candidate. So it's kind of weird to play underdog as Bayern Munich, but there's a lot of options that Bayern could go with, and Niko Kovac has a lot of tools at his disposal. Hopefully he can, you know, show some of his tactical chops and kind of prove some of the haters wrong and actually pull out, you know, a good looking game plan.
I think it also has something, Garrett, on the flip side, that we all put up a starting lineup that's different from anything that we've seen this season, or at least recently. Kind of shows that there is that need for change if we're to have much of a chance. Would everyone be in agreement that Bayern are the underdogs against Liverpool?
Liverpool got to the final last season. Like that's, and they're still doing very well. They're going toe-to-toe with arguably the best Premier League team maybe in history. I know Arsenal went invincible. But the fact that they can handle it at that level is, that's testament enough. I think it's a very well-built squad. And with people saying, oh, they've just spent so much money, it's because they sold somebody that wasn't there and then invested it quite sensibly. Yeah, I think in many senses, Bayern are the underdog, which is really strange to see how quickly that's happened.
Okay, so we'll move on a little bit here. I want to hear key players from both sides, from everyone. And so if you need a second to think about it, that's fine. But Sebastian, I do want to start with you.
Yeah, I guess that heavily depends on what the lineup is actually going to look like. But anyway, I think for me, it will come down to Liverpool's center backs, whoever that is going to be. I think we're not quite sure yet. We know that Virgil van Dijk is not going to be one of them. And so I think Bayern has been able to create a lot of chances in all of the more recent games. That has not really been the problem. So I think that's my key players, if you will, for Liverpool. Yeah, and I think for Bayern, it's again going to depend on whoever is going to be on the double six or on the six, whoever that is going to be. I would hope that Javi Martinez plays a big role in that. If it's Thiago, that does get no good feeling. That doesn't give me a good feeling at all. As I said last week, if you create or if you allow so many chances, if there are such expensive mistakes, Liverpool is going to run all over us if we make it so easy for them. That's my biggest fear there. So I think if we get that fixed, the tables might very well turn there. I think the pressure could very well be on Liverpool then.
Garrett?
For me, I'm going to take the easy route. I'm going to say Mo Salah is the most important and the key player for Liverpool, in that, you know, he's just going to be the driver for them in terms of what they're able to do against Bayern's defense. And you can go with Firmino, you can go with Sané, but I think that both of those players are going to rely a lot on how much damage Salah is able to do to Bayern's midfield and then the back line. Then my other one, so the one for Bayern, I would actually say that Lewandowski is going to be the key player for Bayern, because I think Bayern are going to have their chances. And if you know, Lewandowski is going to hold up that title of best number nine in the world, like if he's going to prove me right, he's got to put a couple of those away in a big match and really put pressure on those center backs that we have no idea necessarily who's actually going to be back there for them. He has to be the one doing that. I guess I just don't want to see Bayern go into a shell and we're forced to think, you know, oh, whoever's playing the number six has got to put the brakes on. I want Bayern attacking, and so I think that Lewandowski has to be a huge player.
So I'll go ahead and go, because I'm going to take one from Sebastian and take one from Garrett. I completely agree, Sebastian. I think whoever is at center back for Liverpool is going to be, you know, a key component for them, hopefully in a negative way for them and a positive way for us, because Virgil van Dijk's arguably the best center back in the world right now. And he is, I mean, if you kept up with the Premier League at all recently, it's evident how much he has changed that Liverpool side defensively. And so them going back to being without him makes me really confident that we'll be able to, like Garrett said, at least have the chances. So that leads me back to Robert Lewandowski, who I think will be a key player for Bayern for a lot of reasons. Last season, he was criticized heavily for not stepping up against Real Madrid or just not stepping up in general in the big matches. So I know he has to be carrying a chip on his shoulder with that in mind right now. But on top of that, he's been Bayern's most informed attacker this season. Gnabry is a bit close, but we saw how he played against Augsburg. He's obviously not infallible. And I think Lewandowski is going to get the chances. It just depends on which side of him shows up, the side that wastes chances and that doesn't fight back for the ball and doesn't get his teammates involved. If that's the one that shows up, we're in trouble. But if it's the Lewandowski who's getting back and getting involved in the play, and he's not playing so selfishly, he's looking for the open man sometimes, not just the shot. And then when he is getting those shots, putting them in the back of the net, if that's the Lewandowski that shows up, then I think that we're in very, very good shape. And I also think he, am I right in saying that he's the top scorer in the Champions League this season so far?
Yeah, he's got 8.
Right. So, I mean, it's looking good for him. When we went on the Schalke podcast a few weeks ago, I remember telling them I thought Lewandowski would be a key player for Bayern, and he was one of the best players on the pitch against Schalke, so I'm feeling a little bit confident about that. Tim, you want to wrap it up with key players for us?
Yeah, Lewandowski is one of them for me, but also I think Alaba. This is probably a huge test for him. He's had big games before. He had to defend against Messi. He probably had to defend against Messi at some point. Bale, Griezmann, he's had to go up against top attackers. This is no different. He's been playing really, really well recently. He's quietly had quite a really good season. So I think this is a big game for him. But as you said, this is the match for Lewandowski to show, no, I am 100% dedicated to this team now. As for Liverpool, it's obviously Salah is one of them, but Salah's probably the most important, but it's also where he plays. Mm-hmm. So he's played right wing predominantly, where he played right wing for virtually all of last season. He's been playing as a centre forward for this season. He's had a few games on the right, but he's mainly played as a centre forward with Roberto?
Yeah,
not Bobby. I'll just call him Bobby F. He's been slightly behind, and Shaqiri's been playing on the right.
Oh no!
And it's something to be scared about, because obviously if Shaqiri plays, he's going to want to play the best game of his life. Because it's well, I told you I was good enough. I don't think he will though. Their midfield, I kind of want to go for a slight curveball as always and say Gini Wijnaldum. Because he's been in terrific form. He's just a player that gets on with it. I've said it before, squads are made up of people like him that maybe don't get all of the headlines, but are just there to do all of the ugly work. He scored against Neuer quite recently, actually, in the friendly. Was it a friendly or is it that weird
Nations
cup?
League.
That, yeah, I never understood that. So in that sense, the goal doesn't count. But yeah, they have a number of very key players. But I think it will be a matter of Lewandowski against their makeshift centre-backs.
Tim, I was waiting on you to make the almost obligatory Gini Wijnaldum, Sebastian Rota comparison.
No, I think Wijnaldum's he's got slightly more of a dimension to him. When he was at Newcastle, I would have said the exact same thing, because he was very much just, oh, that's good. He's there. Good for you, Genie. But no, he's solidified himself as a solid midfielder for Liverpool, and good for him, mm-hmm. Sadly.
Yeah, I almost mentioned Alaba myself, and I think Karl-Heinz Rummenigge would agree, because he said something to the extent of that earlier this week. I guess he seems to think Salah's going to be playing on the right exclusively, but I do think we'll see him more centrally. But yeah, there's, like Tim said, there's so many key players for both sides, and it is a game of, not just individuals going at it, but team, whole units going at it. So finally, I guess, what result do we expect from the match? What score are you expecting? Not the one that you want, because we all want a 5-0 win, at least, but Sebastian, what result do you expect here?
Yeah, if I'm optimistic, I guess a 2-2 would not be so unrealistic. But if I want to be very, very realistic, and if I would, if I really go for what I think is the most likely one, I guess it's more like a 2-3. So, and I guess that would be kind of fine. Even I guess we could be okay with that. It would not be the worst thing in the world.
If we're gonna lose, I'd buy a goal. I'd rather be losing while we pick up a few goals of our own. So there is that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Garrett,
I'm gonna be Sebastian's optimistic side. I'm picking 2-2, 2-2 draw in Anfield. 2 Robert Lewandowski goals too. I'm all in on Louis.
Bold.
This match.
Bold. Tim.
Bayern just need to score. I obviously they also need to not concede. I would like to see Bayern win like 2. I'd like to see them win 3-0, but I think realistically Liverpool will score. But if Bayern can keep scoring as well, then that will be okay. Because I think in the Allianz Arena, it's a completely different story. Score prediction, I think 2-2 isn't a bad shout, actually. I think that could be very realistic and very possible.
Okay. I'm calling that a 2-2 Bayern win. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would be huge.
I'll switch it up a little bit. Everyone kind of expects this to be a high-scoring game because of the... well, poor defenses of both and the great attacks of both. And usually I found that when I get excited for a game like this with two offensive footballing teams going at it, I get really disappointed. So I'm going to actually say a 1-0 Bayern win, and it's going to be a scrappy corner goal. Maybe a header, the ball gets knocked around a little bit and tapped in, but 1-0 scrappy win for Bayern, and just to add a little bit of icing to the cake, it's going to be Rafinha.
Yes. Yeah. Off of Rafinha's shin from Javi Martinez's face.
Yeah, exactly. All over.
That's a proper Thomas Müller goal there.
Yeah, maybe he comes in the 93rd minute or something like that, then he can have his goal.
Yeah.
What speaking of Thomas Müller, what do you think the impact of him traveling with the team is going to, like, do you think it's going to play at all because it sounded like people were almost expecting him not to travel with the team since he was suspended. But does that seem like that's anything?
This isn't an answer to your question, really, Garrett. I just hope that he sits beside Hasan Salihamidzic on the bench and they have a camera dedicated to just the two of them the whole entire time, because I love watching both of them on the bench. Too expressive. Those are two expressive guys, and I could watch that at the same time as the match and be completely happy. But to actually answer your question, I mean, he's the vice captain. I think that it says something about him that he's wanting to go to travel to Liverpool, even though he is suspended. And he's obviously an influential guy on the team. So I think that his presence and will at least do, you know, some good for the team. It can't do any harm, at least.
I do think that it's worth pointing out that Hummels had one of his best games against Augsburg shortly after the most recent hashtag Tomats video came out. So more of those, please.
Definitely agree there.
I don't know, Dortmund play tomorrow, so it's kind of... who are they even playing?
Nuremberg. Top versus bottom. I mean, it couldn't be written any better though for Nuremberg to beat Dortmund from the bottom of the table.
We saw it already. I mean, they lost to when they lost to Dusseldorf. That was like manna from heaven.
I mean, and crazier things have happened. So Dortmund lose on a Monday, Bayern beat Liverpool on a Tuesday. It could be a great week, guys.
They don't, and Dortmund are going to be without Royce again, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they look like a totally different team without Royce. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. I mean, I still think that Nuremberg is not good enough to really, really make a run at it. But who knows? I mean, it's the Bundesliga. Things happen.
And this time of the year, this is when teams are like, okay, we really need to focus now. If this was like a few weeks ago, then all right, fine, you lose, yeah, whatever.
Well, that's enough about Borussia Dortmund. This is the Super Bayern
podcast. Yeah, no, we're done with that.
All right, but that's all we've got for today. You can catch us on iTunes, Spotify, CastBox. If you can't find us, just shoot us a tweet and we'll help you out. And you can do that at Super Bayern Pod. Or you can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.